Throughout the season of Lent, we've been considering questions of Jesus' last week. Today, we turn to the question of what we might call the first week of new creation when Jesus was raised and all of life changed forever. Our Easter Gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. Whether this is your first time or your 100th time hearing the Easter story, I encourage us to listen with fresh eyes and fresh ears. Where do you see yourself in this story? What do you hear in this story? And when you hear the question the two men asked on that first Easter morning, how would you respond on this Easter morning? Listen for God's word from Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The question asked of the women comes across as a bit of a reprimand. They should have known better. It was the ultimate, "I told you so." Didn't he tell you while he was still in Galilee that he must be crucified and on the third day rise again? So why do you look for the living among the dead? It wasn't just a lack of faith that kept them from understanding what Jesus had told them in Galilee about his rising again. It was their whole expectation of what resurrection meant. Jesus' teaching wasn't the first time they'd heard talk of the resurrection. The prophecies of their scriptures described resurrection as something that would happen at the end of the age, a large-scale event when God would redeem all of God's people, Israel, and bring about a new way of life. They never expected it would begin with one person rising to life while the rest of the world carried on just as before. That's why they came with spices that morning. You don't bring those along unless you're expecting to find a dead body that needed anointing to hasten the decomposition and cut down on the smell. They weren't going to the tomb saying to themselves, "We've got these spices as a backup plan just in case, but we're really hoping he's alive." In the age before modern medicine, they knew all too well that death was a part of life, and they knew that dead people remained dead. Why were they looking for the living among the dead? They weren't. They were looking for the dead among the dead. The 11 weren't expecting the resurrection either. If Luke had been making up this story a generation or more after the event, as people have sometimes suggested, he would not have had women go first to the tomb. Among the other great cultural reversals of his day, Jesus affirmed the value of women as evidenced by the fact that they were among those he was teaching in Galilee. But in the ancient world, women were not regarded as credible witnesses. If Luke had been making this story up, he wouldn't have had the women be the first to witness the empty tomb. What he would have done is have the disciples immediately believe and instantly become models of faith. Instead, Luke said it seemed to the disciples an idle tale. Exactly the sort of thing they'd expect from a few women crazy with grief and lack of sleep. We live centuries on the other side of the cross and on the other side of this empty tomb. Hindsight being 20/20, we might also be tempted to reprimand both these women and these men for their lack of faith. But my hunch is that rather than reprimand, many of us can resonate with their responses. We do live in the age of modern medicine. Still, death is very much a part of our life as well. We don't expect someone who died to suddenly rise to life again, and some 2,000 years after that first Easter day, on this Easter day, some still think of this as an idle tale. Why would anyone look for the living among the dead? Hold on to that question. We'll come back to it in a minute. For now, let's go back to these women and enter into what they must have been thinking that morning. That morning, they came to anoint the body of the one they had hoped would bring new life to a world desperately looking for it. When Jesus had been with them, they felt like anything was possible. They had seen people healed from disease and demons cast out with a single word. Yes, they'd even seen the dead brought back to life. They had heard him talk about the kingdom of God, which sounded to them like a whole new world, totally different from the one they were used to. A world where the first became last and the last first. A world where violence and pain are no more. A world where the brokenness and sins of the past are forgiven and healed. A world where everything is made new. And the way Jesus spoke of it, this was not some distant fantasy world. In fact, Jesus said this world was already being ushered in among them through his own life and ministry. But suddenly that life was cut short. Jesus had been nailed to a Roman cross as a criminal, a revolutionary who had threatened the world as those in power knew it. And the world as the women and the disciples knew it, that is, the world they'd hoped for, was nailed to the cross along with them. With Jesus dead, the familiar burial work needed to be done. It was time to anoint the body with spices, time to hasten the decomposition of the body, time to hasten the decomposition of their dreams for this new life. No, they weren't looking for life among the dead. Everything now seemed dead. When they arrived with spices in hand, however, they didn't find a dead body. Instead, they found two men who asked a question. So often the question we hear when it comes to the resurrection is, did Jesus actually rise from the dead? Yes or no? Do you believe in the resurrection? Yes or no? This question from Scripture is not about believing, but about looking. According to Scripture, faith comes not in paying lip service to whether or not we believe in the resurrection. According to Scripture, faith comes in what we look for now that the tomb is empty. Nowhere in this text do we see people who came to faith in the resurrection simply by sitting around trying to rationalize it. In fact, the ones who are idle are the ones who found it to be an idle tale. Those who came to faith are the ones who discovered it on the move. It's a reminder that faith is a journey. We best discover the living Christ among us when we are on the move, taking one step at a time closer to him. Next week, we'll take a look at two people who literally encountered Christ on a journey. For now, consider these women and Peter and their responses to that empty tomb. I once heard some very wise advice about how to read Scripture. The advice was, pay attention to the verbs. Especially in this text, the verbs tell us a lot about what it means to believe in the resurrection. The first verb comes from that command following the two messengers' question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Remember what he told you. Remember. The women remembered, and what they remembered sent them on their way with a new hope and a new message. It's been said that faith does not usually move from promise to fulfillment, but from fulfillment to promise. In this case, the women didn't believe Jesus' promise that he would rise again until they saw it fulfilled in that empty tomb. So too, we might be reluctant to believe Jesus has risen until we see that promise fulfilled. What does that mean for you and me today? The same thing it did for the women. If you want to see the risen Lord, remember what he told us. He told us exactly how we can see him today, most explicitly in Matthew chapter 25. Do you remember what he said? He said, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it for me." I asked earlier where we saw ourselves in this text. Who else do you see in this text? Each of us knows someone who is hungry, maybe not physically, but spiritually. Each of us knows someone who needs us to clothe their body with a warm coat, or clothe their heart with God's grace, or their mind with God's wisdom. Each of us knows someone who's imprisoned by their own guilt and needs to be set free with a word of forgiveness today. If you're struggling to believe if the promise of the resurrection is true, if you're longing to see the risen Christ, don't just sit there idly. Go feed the hungry. Give a drink to the thirsty. Welcome the stranger, for in them you will see Jesus. Remember what he told us. We best discover the living Christ among us when we are on the move, taking one step at a time closer to our neighbor. The women remembered, and that remembrance led them to go and tell a people in need of good news. In turn, Peter got up and went to a place in need of good news. That leads to the second set of verbs in this passage that tells us what it means to believe in the resurrection. Look and see. Peter got up, ran to the graveyard, looked in the tomb, saw the grave clothes, and was amazed. Like women going to the tomb with spices, most people expect to find death in a graveyard. Where most people expected to find death, Peter looked and saw life. Many of us have seen photos of the ruins of the Cathedral of Notre Dame after the fire. One of the most striking to me is the one taken when the firefighters first entered the sanctuary. And immediately they saw a gold cross shining brightly amid the rubble and debris. After a fire or other natural disaster, those first to respond to the scene come looking for signs of life. I'd say those first responders in Paris got the greatest sign of life there is. In the middle of the ashes, the cross still shines. In the midst of destruction, there is resurrection. That's a message not just those in Paris, but all the world needs to see and hear. People are naturally drawn to stories of bloodshed and disaster and death. As captured by the well-known mantra of news programming, if it bleeds, it leads. One of the signs of resurrection is our willingness to focus on life instead of death, to see life where others see only death. Most people expect to find death in a graveyard. For Peter, the empty tomb was a sign of life because it meant Jesus was once again alive and on the loose. That meant Jesus' mission was once again alive and on the loose. That kingdom of God, that whole new world of which Jesus spoke, a world where anything was possible, it was now back and closer than ever. And that kingdom comes one step closer every time we look for and see it in the most unlikely of places. In this sense, the question asked of the women that morning is actually not a reprimand, but the greatest witness to faith we can ever offer. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Because Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, we can look for a life where others see death. We can see hope where others see only despair. We can see love where others see only hate. We can see value where others see only worthlessness. We can see commonalities where others see only difference. We can see grace where others see only revenge. We can see the living Christ where others only see ashes and destruction. And if you come to a place where you can't see the living Christ, then maybe that's exactly the place where he's calling you to be the living Christ. No one expected resurrection would begin with one person rising to new life while the rest of the world carried on just as it had before. But it did on that first Easter morning, and it can again today. The world doesn't have to carry on just as it is. The new life the world is still desperately looking for, it starts by each of us rising up and bringing good news to those people and places most needing to hear it. Friends, the Easter story isn't an idle tale. We don't discover the truth of it by sitting idly by. We discover it by remembering and telling the good news, by looking and seeing the good news. Remember and tell. Look and see. It's as simple and yet as challenging as that. It takes strength to remember the good news when it's tempting to forget it. It takes courage to see light when it's so much easier to see darkness. Here's the good news for us today. That same living Christ we're looking to see and help others to see, Jesus says, remember. He's also in each of us. Scripture tells us that the same power of the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in us. That's a great, great and terrifying comfort of the resurrection. Easter assures us that not only Jesus' victory over the grave, but his victory over anything that would rob us of life on this side of the grave. Easter also challenges us. What will we do with the new life and new power we've been given? May we remember that power we've been given. May we remember it's not our power. It's the power of the living Christ that rolled away the stone on that first Easter. And he still moves stones today. Remember the power of this day. And may it empower you to live a new life all of your days. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we turn to God in prayer, I will offer several petitions where I will say, Living God, and I invite you to respond, hear our prayer. So let us pray. Living God, we offer our prayers through Christ who is risen from the dead, who lives and reigns forever and prays for us in heaven. Through Christ we pray for the church. Let us be people of joy, living witnesses to the power of the resurrection and the good news of your grace and peace. Living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for the earth. From the dust of the damaged earth, raise up your new creation, full of beauty, wonder, and glory. Living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for all nations. Let the message of your saving power spread throughout the world, that the dominion of death is no more. Living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for this community. Let the doors of this church be wide open as we go forth in love and service, and others come in to find a home. Living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for loved ones. Give hope to those who wait for good news. Turn their mourning into dancing and their joy into sorrow. Living God, hear our prayer. God of all power and glory, receive these prayers and continue your mighty work among us through Jesus Christ, our living Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.